Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined by Joe Masato at Chesapeake Energy Arena after the Thunder's 115-108 loss to the Miami Heat. We've kind of seen this basic script play out a few times in the last few games.
Yeah, it's been a bad recent trend for the Thunder, and what we're talking about is the first quarter. This game was, if you look at the final three quarters, the Thunder outscored the Heat by 7 points. If you look at the first quarter, the Heat outscored the Thunder 40-26, and that was really the game.
Yeah. This is the second time in four games that the Thunder's allowed at least 40 points in the first quarter. That's not good.
No. And it's, yeah, I mean, it's just a bad defense. It's a mixture of good shot making from the other team, but like one game might explain that. But now this is becoming a bit of a trend.
It is. And at the beginning of the season, we were talking about a similar thing with third quarters. And it's hard to say if it's the same issues. I mean, they keep talking about coming out with energy and being an aggressor, which was a lot of what they were talking about with coming out of the half. But they were able to fix that after midway through, you know, probably about a quarter of the way through the season. And now it's rearing its ugly head again, but earlier in the game. And honestly, sometimes it's even worse than just a first quarter issue. Sometimes they're kind of lackadaisical through the first half.
Yeah. 40 points given up tonight. That was the second most. 42 is the most they've given up in a first quarter all season. So they almost reached that.
Oh, who was 42?
It was one of the Portland games. I forgot. I went back and
that
the
really
Portland
bad
blowout
loss.
Probably. Yeah. So this was right up there with that.
And number two was against the Lakers, which was that other 40-point. So it was 41 points four games ago.
So, 42, 41, 40. It's a bad stretch, and the Heat shot 65% in that first quarter. And the thing that killed the Thunder is the Heat were 6 of 7 from 3.
Yeah.
The Thunder actually defended the 3-point line okay. I mean, not good beyond that. The Heat still shot 39% from 3. But the Thunder shot, I mean, the Heat were 38.9, Thunder 39.1. Thunder miraculously shot better despite the Heat making 6 of their first 7 from 3. But that barrage of threes in the first quarter just got the Thunder in too big of a hole. And like,
yeah,
we've seen the Thunder come back. But it's harder to do against a team like Toronto 2 days ago, and hard to do against the Heat tonight, two of the best teams in the East.
Well, and if you're going to make up for a team shooting 6 of 7 from three, you have to do it in the paint. And the Heat outscored the Thunder in the paint too. I mean, not by a huge margin, but they outscored them 14-10, shot 7 of 12 from the paint. And that effort was really led by Bam Adebayo, who has been fantastic this season. And we'll get back to him. But let me just read you the opponent scoring from the Thunder's last four games.
Whew, buckle down, folks.
So we'll start with tonight against Miami, 40 points. Against Toronto, who also shot insanely efficiently in the first quarter, 38. Against Minnesota, 33. Against the Lakers, 41. So brutal stretch there for the first quarters for the Thunder. And in all of those home games, that ended up kind of being the difference, where the Thunder was playing from behind and couldn't figure it out, couldn't overcome those large deficits. And it was only the one away game where they allowed 33 at Minnesota that they were able to come back from those rough first quarters.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't been able to recover except for that game. They're 1-3, lost 3 out of those 4 games that you just outlined, and you know, obviously Miami and Toronto, no shame to losing to those teams at home. There is shame losing to a bad a beat up Lakers team at home without LeBron and Anthony Davis. We've talked about that though, but yeah, I mean, this has resulted.
Want to talk about it again? Want to relive it?
Go back and listen. Just scroll down or whatever. But this is three straight home losses too, which, you know, you don't want that to happen.
No, and the Thunder started out a much better home team than they were away,
mm-hmm.
and then they became a really good road team, and now they're in a bit of a rough patch in both. I mean, I guess you can
one home win this year. How about that? I love the New Year jokes still. It's January 17th and I'm still living off of them.
Oh, we've got time.
We have time.
Yeah, so brutal first quarter. And I mentioned Bam.
Oh, he's a good player.
Scoring perfectly. It helped out that the Thunder was a bit shorthanded. Steven Adams still out with that. I say still. He suffered a right knee contusion in the last game against Toronto. He has not come back yet. So, missing his first full game tonight with that injury.
And
but
different knee contusion than what ailed him at the beginning of the season.
Right. Now he's got both knees bruised up.
Both knees.
Just kidding. I guess technically the left knee is now
unbruised.
Wait,
his left knee is
unbruised.
Hurt as well, Maddie?
Oh my gosh. I'm just spreading misinformation. Right knee is bruised. Left one used to be. I don't know. I haven't seen the imaging. but the Thunder did get back Nerlens Noel. So at least they weren't down two centers like they were for most of the Toronto game. But yeah, it didn't help that much. Nerlens came out real strong, though.
Yeah, Nerlens, he only played 21 minutes, and when we asked Billy Donovan about him after the game, he said that he's still trying to get his wind. And
he was out for six games.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's long.
Yeah, he's been out for a while, and, you know, he would – I think if he was – fully healthy, he would have played more than 21 minutes tonight. Mike Muscala played 27 minutes off the bench, and he was actually in those closing lineups. And that's not saying Noel wasn't conditioned. Maybe they were down, so they're probably just looking for Muscala's offense that he can provide. But yep. Nerlens, he had the Thunder's first 7 points, and they came in the first 2 minutes of the game. He was catching lobs. He made a three-pointer.
He made a three. That was the first. That was the Thunder's first make of the game, was a corner three
from
Nerlens
Noel. We just, like, looked at each other like, what? And it was...
I honestly didn't see it in real time, because when you see Nerlens Noel... when he disappears off into the corner, yeah. You don't
he was like
track
off
him.
He was like off the screen, but it was like real life, I guess.
The real life screen. and then we hear Nerlens Noel from three. It's like, I'm sorry, what?
It happened.
I saw it in the replay.
It was a real life thing that happened before our very eyes. It was his second career three-pointer. His first.
And he's taken like six in his career now. I think that's right.
Did he
actually
take two tonight?
So there's no. So there's a discrepancy between Basketball Reference and NBA.com, I think.
Okay. Well, Basketball Reference said he was one of four going into tonight. And this is a guy who has played 334 career games. His one made three was in 15-16 when he was a 76er. And, yeah, I mean, clearly they drew something up for Nerlens to start the game. He had a three. He caught a lob from Chris Paul. He had those 7 quick points. He had 3 blocks. And although Bam Adebayo is a monster, and we will discuss his game very soon, I thought Nerlens did an okay job on him. Like, he hung in there tough at the rim. Kind of a turning point play was, you know, Nerlens looked like he had a big block on Bam Adebayo. Billy Donovan thought he had a big block. Billy got teed up for arguing the call. But yeah, so that was kind of a big play. But all in all, Nerlens, in his 21 minutes back, played very well.
Okay, correction. There is no discrepancy between NBA.com and...
let the record state.
And Basketball Reference for... I was just scrolling through, and he played in two different places in 16-17, so I counted that one twice.
Second career three for Mr. Noel. We will, I don't expect that to become a thing, but.
Fifth career attempt.
Yeah. Hey, he was a 25% three-point shooter coming into this one. That's not terrible. Only taking four attempts. Not a lot of desperation heaves at the buzzer like Steven Adams has had, but.
I remember him taking a really bad, Noel taking a really bad three. It must have been in the preseason, but it was definitely this year. Yeah. So maybe it will be. No, that's not a good thing to encourage. I don't think it will be that much of a thing. But hey, only
man, a New Orleans Noel three for the first points of the game for the Thunder. You could have made some serious money if that was a prop bet or something.
And those first 7 points happened so quickly and so dominantly because it was. It was the three. It was the alley-oop. It was...
There were some blocks in there.
A few blocks, and then this really long hook shot. And so, honestly, they got out to such a strong start. Like, when I say start, I mean very, very start. That it seemed like it was going to be a good game, and then very quickly, the Heat turned it around. But, yeah, Bam is... impressive with how versatile he is, because I mean even little things like Joe, you were talking all game about just watching him take the ball up. Mm-hmm. Like how many big men do you know who do that regularly during a game?
Yeah, very, very few. And like I mean this isn't like a good comp for like their whole skill sets, but like We saw Blake Griffin, like when he was a Clipper, he would do that stuff and like lead the fast break and handle the ball very well as a big. And like Bam does that stuff. He starts their fast breaks when he gets the rebound. He facilitates from the top of the key. You were talking about his defense. Like he has no trouble when he gets switched onto a guy like Chris Paul. Like
no.
I mean, Paul tried to get around him. He tried to step back. And like, Bam, his closing speed's really good. He's obviously very long. It's 6'9". He moves his feet well. He's just a good all-around player.
He almost plays defense like Nerlens Noel in that way, but he's sturdier than mm-hmm. Nerlens.
Yeah. He's ripped. He's made such a leap. Like, from where he was in year one, he's in year three now. Definitely a candidate for most improved player of the year. I was just looking it up in game. A lot of people have him as a front runner on those lists. Yeah. So he was, let's see, his final line tonight, 7 of 11. He was 7 of 10 from the free throw line, 8 rebounds and 5 assists, 21 points. Really, the Heat were balanced, but between him down low and the shooters that surround him, they had a lot going on offensively.
Speaking of those shooters, Kendrick Nunn, who went undrafted this summer, led the Heat with 22 points. And, I mean, he's another guy who, I mean, his chances aren't great to win Rookie of the Year because he's going up against a guy like Ja Morant, but he certainly inserted himself into that even top three conversation.
Yeah, no doubt. And such an unlikely candidate. I mean, undrafted from Oakland University, and he is just very fun to watch. Like, 22 points, 9 of 17, 3 of 5 from 3. He had a really big 3 in the fourth quarter. Jimmy Butler had a tap out, and it went right to Nunn, who made the 3, and I think it put the Heat up by like 14 or so. He is a little smaller in person than I thought, but
yeah, not very tall.
He looks like he's obviously straight out of college. He's a rookie, but he looks like a guy who would still be playing college basketball, but he's having that sort of success in the pros right now.
Yeah. I mean, definitely you'd imagine a nice surprise for the Heat. And I asked Chris Paul about it post game because he'd spoke glowingly, and Chris Paul watches more basketball than
he's like, I watch him on League Pass.
He said, I watch him every night. And honestly, Chris Paul watches, I mean, we are surrounded by people who watch a lot of basketball. Chris Paul watches more basketball than anyone probably in the world.
Yeah. He said every night he's watching games, and he talked about like watching games with Shea and how all these lessons that you can learn from watching these games, and it's like funny to hear him talk about that. But yeah,
he spoke glowingly about Nunn going yesterday at practice, and so I asked him about him again tonight after he, you know, had a game high for the Heat, and he basically said they have so many shooters that that's a huge advantage for them. And so in my words, if you're not, Nunn is not at the top of your scouting report, right? And so if you are really trying to lock down Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo and Duncan Robinson, they had Terrence Ferguson start the game off on him and had Hamidou Diallo take his turn on him. So they were clearly worried about his shooting and his activity off of screens.
Mm-hmm.
So Kendrick Nunn is probably, I mean, in that starting lineup, he's probably your fifth guy. So he's going to get some open shots.
Yeah. And yeah, you said it. Like the attention that Bam draws down low, Jimmy Butler is obviously still their best player and a star. He didn't, you know, did not have a lot going on tonight, just 3 of 8, but like he didn't really need to. But Duncan Robinson, I mean, just the way he curls around screens and he needs no space at all to get up a shot. And I think that's why they had Terrence on him early, just to chase him around those, and Nunn can shoot the ball. And they were without Tyler Hero, another, you know, top rookie who shoots the heck out of the ball. And he's just another threat around the perimeter that they were without.
Yeah, this is a pretty good Heat team.
It's a fun team, too.
They are fun. I have not watched nearly enough Heat games this season. I tend to watch a lot more Western Conference games than I do Eastern Conference, and I need to remedy that. I need to watch a lot more because these guys are good and balanced. And
it's like Jimmy Butler with a bunch of like really good young players.
Yeah.
And like, you know, decent bigs, but you know, they're definitely a team that they could be a trade away from being a true contender, and you know, adding another veteran piece. So
yeah,
we shall see.
Probably too good to want to give up a lot for a guy like Chris Paul.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but you could, I don't know. I don't have some trade machine in front of me, but you could imagine like what a guy like Danilo Gallinari could add to a team like the Heat. Another big, another shooter, stuff like that. Like, it seems like they're going to make some move. but yeah, we'll see.
Excuse me. Sorry about the coughing. I don't know why this is still happening. I'm healthy. Don't worry about me. It's just,
it's hard to believe, though, if you're going to cough, you know.
There were some, I mean, when the Thunder's playing three good quarters, there are still some positives to take out if you close your eyes and don't look at the first. One of them was Danilo Gallinari again hitting more than three threes, so that's 12 in a row now, and a Thunder record, still an even bigger Thunder record than before when the last game he passed Paul George for that 10
most games in a row with at least three threes. Yeah, he had his Thunder high in threes tonight.
On fire. 7 of 12 from three. Finished a game with a Thunder game high, 27 points.
7 of 12 that's some serious shooting going on.
Yeah, and it's a big reason why the Thunder finished the game so well from three, almost 40%, you know, 39.1. And like you mentioned, even better than the Heat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of Gallo's makes were from three. He was 7 of 15 overall, 7 of 12 from three. He got to the free throw line, which the Thunder only did 18 times tonight. 7 of them were from Gallinari. He was 6 of 7 there, had 6 rebounds, 4 assists. A very complete game. If you look at the box score among the starters, he was the only starter with a positive plus-minus. And, his game tonight will obviously get overshadowed by the loss, but he was quite good offensively.
Another guy who had a sneaky good game was Dennis Schroeder, who you had to point out to me, I had no idea that he was close, was like sneaking up on a trip. He didn't have a triple double, but he had 18 points, 7 rebounds, and 8 assists. So obviously it takes a lot to get 3 more rebounds and 2 more assists, but
he took 11 threes tonight.
Yeah, he probably shouldn't have taken that many.
That's just crazy. Yeah, I didn't realize how good Schroeder's stat line was until after the game when I saw it. But yeah, 11 threes. Gallinari took 12. The Thunder took 46 threes tonight, and we talked about this on the last podcast after the Toronto game, that 42 threes tied their season high. Well, 46 threes set their season high, and I mean,
I think a lot of that was going up against the zone defense.
Yeah, that's a good point, and we should talk about that because the Thunder, we've seen teams throw out a zone against the Thunder before to make them prove that they can shoot the ball. The Heat, actually, it was very great timing from Mark Stein of the New York Times. Before the game, he dropped a piece about how NBA teams are like, the zone defense has exploded in the NBA. Like, you see it a ton in college basketball, but you're seeing it a lot more in the NBA now because, like, the offenses are so good. Coaches are just like trying to get creative / desperate, throwing anything out.
Box and ones, which, yeah, like
Toronto did against Golden State in the finals.
That's such a high school defense, yeah. But apparently also an NBA defense.
Yeah, they were. And among the teams mentioned in this story about like who's running the most zone defense, it's funny. Washington runs it the most. They're also the worst defense in the NBA. So they're trying everything. But the Heat are pretty high on the list, and we saw a lot of it tonight.
Yeah, and in the past, like last year, you'd see Jeremy Grant really be the guy who consistently was able to break the zone for the Thunder. Tonight, Hamidou Diallo had some moments where, I mean, obviously not completely effectively since the Thunder lost, but he had some moments where he'd hit a crucial three to really disrupt what the Heat was doing on defense.
And also, I think he's just so fast when he's driving from the perimeter that in those zone rotations, like, yeah, you try to beat it with shooting, but also he can just penetrate so well and get to the rim. And we saw a very slam dunk contest champion-esque dunk.
Yes, it was a poster for sure. And he said after the game, which I thought was one of the... I wasn't expecting as... Usually when you ask about big plays, people are like, oh yeah, that was nice. He gave a very insightful answer. Not that I wasn't expecting insight from him, but usually when you ask about a dunk, you don't get a very insightful answer because of the question, not because of the guy. But he was talking about how he's had some bumps in the road getting back, and he's not playing quite at the level offensively as he was before he suffered that injury, the elbow injury. And he said it was really nice for him because of that to have a dunk like that, which he hasn't done in a long time.
Yeah, and, you know, if you want to see him back in the slam dunk contest, I talked to him the other day about it, just asking if he would be interested, and he said that he would like 100% do it, but it's a matter of health, whether or not that right elbow is healthy. He said he's still waiting on some clearance. Like, he's obviously healthy enough to play, but like, I guess the stress and just the power of some of those dunks that you would need in a slam dunk contest, you probably don't want to risk it if there is lingering issues. But
I mean, his best dunk last year was the honey dip,
yeah,
which you'd imagine, I've never done it, but I could imagine catching yourself on the rim with your elbow would put a little bit of stress on it.
Probably don't want to hang from the injured elbow
after jumping over Shaq.
Yeah, so I have a little bit of doubt that we'll see him just because of the health issue, but...
And the Thunder's so careful about health.
I also think I offended him because I said, so, like, you know, tell me about the process of, like, do you have to wait on an invite, or, like, are you just... Can you just say that you're interested? And he was like, I won. I have an invite if I want to participate, so... It was very funny to talk to him about that. He's very confident, and he said that if he doesn't, he will go in with the crown, which is a very true statement.
Well, that brings us pretty smoothly into the rest of the injury update. We already talked about Steven Adams and Nerlens Noel, but Abdul Nader is still out and still in a boot with that left ankle sprain. And then Terrence Ferguson kind of disappeared off the bench in that first quarter and did not return. The Thunder, the official word is that it was for an illness. So hopefully he's doing all right, and we'll see tomorrow if this is a lasting issue or not.
Yeah, and Billy didn't have any update on Terrence or Steven or Abdul after the game. So
with he said, see you tomorrow.
Yeah, see you tomorrow, which also, is what we responded with. Not really, but we could have.
I feel like if Abdul's walking around in a boot, you can pretty safely say he's not going to play tomorrow. But I could be wrong.
Do you want to take a second to brag that Billy Donovan has been coaching basketball for a long time, and you were the first reporter to ever ask him about a boot
question? Is how he phrased it. So I've never been asked a boot question before. Yeah, I asked him at practice how long Abdul was going to be in the boot, and he didn't know. And
never been asked.
It was, apparently has never been asked.
It was groundbreaking. The first boot question for Billy Donovan. So,
and then yeah. Brady Trantham followed up with, do you like wearing boots?
Yeah, it went a little off the rails, but there was really nothing more to be said. Like, he doesn't know, so, yeah.
Huh. Well,
he's in a boot.
We'll see. We'll follow up on all of those guys. Obviously, this is a quick turnaround, so, yeah. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, as Billy would say.
Great quote from only Billy Donovan. Although Billy Donovan does sometimes say things like what I would call the it factor. Yes, that's what everyone would call it.
Yeah, he coined that phrase.
Well, thank you for joining us on another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. Like it, love it, subscribe. Subscribe to the newspaper. Share the podcast with your friends, your neighbors, your enemies, your pets, your loved ones, your family. I don't know if I already said that. And we will see you on Saturday, or at least we'll be recording Saturday. It's a late game.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Saturday against the Trailblazers.